received a note a moment ago wanting me to announce this. If anyone wants one of the pews, some people have houses big enough for something of that size. I know I don't. Maybe it would fit in there, but no. If any of you want a pew, you need to let someone know. I know that if you tell me about it, I'm going to tell Ron Peck. So if you want a pew, let Ron know, maybe Steve, maybe Bob, but let someone know that you have that desire. You can pick your own. You can say which one you want. We'll do our best to help you get it home, but you need to let someone know, and that today. Amos chapter 2 and verse 4 is where we'll begin this hour. Amos chapter 2 and verse 4. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord, and have not kept his commandments, and their lies caused them to err, after the which their fathers have walked. One of Satan's many devices is to cause his lies to become traditions of men. We walk, we believe the lies our fathers believe. It goes back generations sometimes to what someone believed that was highly respected, and they wrote down the things that they understood and passed it on to further generations, and those things have come down through sometimes even centuries. And we believe things that someone believed 1,000 years ago maybe, and we have not investigated it for ourselves. At the time Amos wrote, Judah had been in their errors for generations. There was a barrier to Judah's repentance, namely tradition. The New Revised Standard Version puts it this way: but they have been led astray by the same lies after which their ancestors walked. Upon hearing God's prophets, many in Judah would have said, our fathers worshipped in the high places. You can't convince me my father is going to hell. Therefore, I will continue to worship in the high places. Even though at the beginning you worship in one place where the tabernacle is, and then further the temple. But others said, well, our fathers did something different, therefore we're going to continue that tradition, even though that's not the way it originally was. Why should we reject the lies our fathers believed and obeyed? The lies our fathers believed should be rejected because, first of all, our fathers now, they desire it. They want us to go back to the original because of where they are now. Because they have been confronted with the truth, they have passed from our view. If they are dealing with eternity, they know something different now. John chapter 12 and verse 48 tells us that what our fathers believed has no relevance when it comes to judgment. What our fathers believed will not be referred to on that great day and is not referred to now in heaven. John chapter 12, verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Most of you have a red letter edition in your Bibles and know that these are the words of Christ, but some may not. So let me emphasize that these are the words of the Christ here on this earth. He spoke these words, telling us where his word came from, verses 49 and 50, and the importance of these words. These are the words by which you're going to be judged, not the traditions that your fathers believe. What Jesus said, that's what's going to matter when you step before the judgment bar. Judgment is by the word of Christ, not the think-sos of our fathers. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 and following. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 and following. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and in fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Notice verse 28. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. This rich man wanted to send Lazarus back to earth to tell his five brothers what was going to happen. He wanted them to know. But, Abraham says, they have Moses and the fathers to believe. They've been given all that they're going to be given. But my brothers are still going to follow their own way unless someone tells them now. No, Moses is the one they were to listen to. We have one that we are to listen to today. Notice verse 28 once again. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear then. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We look back. We see what our parents believe. We see down the line through the history what our fathers believe. You know, my grandfather's father, great-grandfather, he was John Calvin Watkins. Any idea what he believed? You think he might have believed in the Calvinistic system of the tulip doctrine? I'm pretty sure he did. In fact, one of my father's brothers is named Don Calvin Watkins. I don't know that he had any affiliation with the John Calvin Watkins and what he believed, but it's carried down through the years. We often believe something of what our parents believe. Whether it's about angels on this earth, whether it's about miracles, whether it's about the judgment, some believe that there will be no real true judgment, even though Jesus said it, even though he talks about heaven and hell, even though the same Bible that tells us about eternal salvation talks about eternal damnation. We often skip those things because, well, mom didn't believe that, or dad didn't believe that, or grandpa or Aunt Sally. And yet we go back to the Bible and we find that certain things are different from what our families believe. Even though someone comes back from the dead, we still have to go back to what Jesus said. We still have to go back to what the apostles said. We still have to believe God. Go back to Jerusalem, where the first gospel was preached, and believe what they believe, not what your Aunt Sally believes. She may not believe everything truly. We have the responsibility to believe what God says to believe and not anyone else. And our fathers, the ones that have passed on, they now know the truth, and they beg you, believe the truth. Don't follow their way. Can you imagine any good father saying, I'm in trouble now, and I would rather my children just simply follow me. I'm in these flames. I'm like this rich man, and I want my sons to do just what I've done. Follow me here. Cannot imagine it. I cannot. And I would dare say neither can you. Don't believe the lies that your fathers believe. Face the fact, if your father believed and lived a lie, he's in torments. His sins unforgiven. His only comforting thought is that perhaps you won't make the same mistake. A good father sees the pit and steers you away. A good father knows that fire burns and protects you. A good father knows the folly of stealing and lying and applies a rod of correction. A good father wants you to keep from shame, the shame of collector's calls, and teaches you to pay your bills. A good father, who is now fully aware of his own folly, now desires, begs that you not follow his folly. To reject this is to reject the love of a father and to dishonor him. You need to know as well that rejecting the lies that your fathers believed is important because judgment is coming. Amos chapter 2 and verse 4 proclaimed it. Judgment is coming. Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. Judgment is coming. We need to understand that. We need to plan for it. Our doctrine needs to be pure because of it. Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, not just liars, but those who love a lie. Those are the ones that are going to be outside. Judgment is coming. Plan for it now. Those lies that your fathers believe need to be rejected. Rejected now and forever. Repent. Believe. Obey the truth, because judgment is coming. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. The Apostle Paul stands on Mars Hill before the city of Athens, noting all the false gods that are there, and telling them, you're religious, but your religion is ignorant. They have an unknown God. Probably would look funny to us today, all of these temples to various gods with intricate carvings, and then there's one that's just a block of stone. They don't know what god it is. They might have forgotten one or might have not acknowledged one, and they don't want that one to be offended, and so they put a block of stone out there, bow down and worship it and sacrifice to it. Paul says, that's the one I want to tell you about. He's the God of heaven and earth. He is the God that put breath in man. He is the God that is God over all. And he says in verses 30 and 31, in the times of his ignorance, that is the ignorance of his idolatry, God winked at or overlooked, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You ever notice how some people will own a word? That some words are typical of some people. Some celebrities say a particular catchphrase, and they own that. Well, might I submit that the word commandeth is owned by God? That when you hear that word, that you ought to think of it being that you cannot bargain with God. That it's something that he requires. He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. We know that there is a judgment coming, because the one who raised from the dead told us about it. What do you do in order to end up right on that day? He commands all men everywhere to repent. Change your mind. You've got to call a lie a lie. If your fathers believed it, reject it if it's a lie. If it's not, honor it and obey it. But if it is and you know it, then say, no more. I'm sorry, Father. I want to go to heaven. I want to please God. I want to end up with the face of God. Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. Here we are told by the Apostle Paul that we have the responsibility to continue in the truth. Now, our fathers in time past believed something different from the truth. We are still to obey the Apostle Paul here. We are to continue in the truth. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Excuse me, chapter 11, verse 22. "And we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." One of these days, I will have this passage correct. Romans chapter 11, verse 22, not 8, verse 22. "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if." One of the most important words in the English Bible is the word "if," because it also often tells us about a condition that, if not obeyed, ends in tragedy, ends in destruction and perdition. We are to obey the truth. Verse 22, "Which on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off." Behold the goodness and severity of God. The goodness for those that continue in the truth. Severity for those that continue to believe and obey a lie. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." We are to persuade others of the truth. Why? This is one of the motivations. Because we know the terror of the Lord. We want others to reject the lies that their fathers believe. We want others to believe and obey the truth and only the truth. We are to love the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. And we are to love it even though it's different from what our fathers believe. Believe me, if they're in eternity now, they're begging you to obey the truth. If they are lovers of their children, if they want the best that there is for you. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." We must love the truth. The ESV says they refused to love the truth and so be saved. We must be lovers of the truth, more than lovers of our family, even those that are honored and have gone on before. We also need to reject the lies that our fathers believed because of the exceeding great reward. Yes, I don't know where the term carrot and stick came from, but the Bible certainly is a source of that idea. That there is an eternity, and there are two places that you can go in eternity. There's a hell to shun, and there is a heaven to gain. Because of the exceeding great reward, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7. The Apostle John opens the veil just a little bit for us to see. We cannot see the fullness and with clarity the coming reward, but he shows us just a little bit. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I saw a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Why believe and love the truth? Why reject the lies that our fathers believe? Because there is great reward. Great reward to be gained by doing so. There is freedom from sin. John chapter 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Freedom from sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, if you will. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Then verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, or to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Great reward for those that reject the lies that our fathers believe. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Purity of soul is something to be gained. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. There was someone that came, an inspector that came to a store that sold dry goods, and they measured the measuring equipment against the standard. Now, this man that measured cloth, for instance, he had used that ruler so many times, that yardstick so many times, that it had rounded off the end, and it was a half inch short. After many decades of use, it just wasn't up to the task. And so he was told by the one who came to measure the measuring equipment, the inspector, if you will, that he would have to replace that. The man said, I'm not going to replace it. You mean to tell me that I have to reject my father who used this same yardstick for years and years, and I have to call him a cheat? Now, the standard was the standard. And the fact is, that yardstick was inadequate. What would your father do? The inspector said. He remembered back to the integrity his father had. And he said, my father would change out that yardstick right now. And that's what I'll do. We ought to look back in the past and ask ourselves what our fathers would do if they knew the truth. Maybe it's the fact that they would still follow in the lies that they believe. But if we believe and know the truth, and believe that they honored truth, we will change what we believe today. Do it God's way. Do it God's way now. You want a pure soul. A pure soul comes from obeying the truth. Can anything less than pure stand before God? Isaiah didn't believe so. He knew he was a man of unclean lips, among a people of unclean lips. And he was in a vision standing before God and proclaimed himself, I am undone. And it wasn't until the Lord cleansed him with the coals that came from that fiery place in the temple yard that he could stand before God. Cleansing is what it took. He had to be pure. We must be sanctified. John chapter 17 and verse 17. I know it's a bit strange in the English language. We don't use the word sanctified very much. We know the word saint, but we often think of a football team rather than what it truly means. A saint is a holy one. You see that word in your King James Version? I don't know if the other versions use it, probably do. But that word simply means holy one. And it's kin to that word sanctify or sanctification, the process of being made holy. How is that process carried out? Jesus prayed a prayer before his crucifixion in John chapter 17. And in verse 17 of that chapter, he says, sanctify them, make them holy by thy truth. By the truth. Thy word is truth, he says. How are we to be holy? We must reject the lies that our fathers believe. We must. There's no other way. James chapter 1 and verse 21. How is it that we come to salvation? Can we come to salvation through someone's lies? Whether they believe them honestly or not, that doesn't matter. Whether they were sincere or not, that doesn't matter. James chapter 1 and verse 21 reads, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. It's a matter of salvation. We need the pure word of God. We need the unadulterated word of God. When we believe lies that our fathers believed, we gain destruction. When we reject them, we gain salvation. Remember, thy word is truth. John 17, verse 17. Why should we reject the lies our fathers believe? I truly believe today that our fathers that have gone on desire it. Desire it greatly. Would not want you to follow in their path if that path led to their destruction. They want you to do right. They want you to do right now. You also need to reject the lies your fathers believed because judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. You don't know when. Jesus might be just right over the horizon right now. Or there may be an asteroid that's going to crush this earth. I know that's a little dramatic, but there might be a car coming to hit your car. I've said it before, and I think it illustrates it greatly, that both of my sisters knew someone whose lives were ended in a moment. Crossing a train track. Ended in a moment. It could happen to you. It could happen to me. I know. I'm 340-something pounds, and as someone might say, a Big Mac away from a heart attack. Who knows? My doctor says I might live to 80. But who knows? I could drop dead today. And so could you. We have no idea when we're going to face judgment, but face judgment we will. And we need to be ready. Judgment is coming. But also the reward. The reward is so great. Exceeding great and precious promises, Peter said. Exceeding great and precious promises, reserved in heaven for you. But we can't have those if we believe the lies that our fathers believed. We must never believe lies. Reject them. Believe the truth, and only the truth. That's the only way to heaven. There may be someone here this very hour that needs to reject the lies that your fathers believe and obey the truth. Obey the truth now. Be baptized for the remission of your sins, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repenting of sins, confessing Christ before men. I know it's a matter of courage for many, but you need to show that right now if you have not. Your eternity depends upon it. And you never know, your courage may build up the courage of someone else. Someone may look at your example and end up in heaven because of your courage. It may be that you've rejected God in some way in your life. You have reserved a part of your life for you and you alone because you believe that you could. Today, if you have rejected that lie, that everything must be reserved for God, you need to repent of sin, ask God for forgiveness. And if it's a public matter, you need to make it right before everyone. That is, Everyone needs to know that you've repented if everyone knows that you're in rebellion. Reject the lies that your fathers believed. Be saved today. And if we can assist you in that obedience, won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand and as we sing?